about Molly. Molly was a parrot. In fact, you can see this video on YouTube if you just Google blind parrot hitting the wall. But Molly was a parrot, and her owner decided that he wanted to see if Molly could fly. And so he coached Molly to fly, not realizing that the parrot was blind. And no doubt in the mind of the parrot wanted one thing and one thing only. He wanted to fly, to go through an open window and be free. So he took off most gracefully. Beautiful. Amazing. And he flew at about Mach 3, a little exaggeration on my part, and slam, whop, right into a wall. As Molly was laying on the floor, coming to her senses, she said, "I didn't see that coming." Life has a way of sometimes blindsiding us. It kind of catches us off guard. And I suppose all of us are in that boat. I suppose all of us have been blindsided at one time or another. I suppose all of us have had to deal with difficult circumstances in life. And in regard to myself, I suppose circumstances of life that have blindsided me, I could complain about. I suppose I could emphasize the hardships to you that I've had to struggle with over the last few years. I suppose I could bellyache about the inconveniences that I've had to endure. I suppose I could dwell upon the destructive nature of the past in my life. But what I want to say to you today, and what I want us to think about as found in Romans the 8th chapter verses 28 through 39, is that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And the fact of the matter is, I will not give in, I will not give up, no matter what happens in my life. I've been reading a book. It's a kind of an amazing book. It is called The Wonderful Names of Our Wonderful Lord. In this book, there are 365 different names from the Old and the New Testament about Jesus. One for every day of the week. Every day of the year, rather. And as I began to read this book, I began to think about the name of Jesus. I began to think about myself. I began to think about who I perceive myself to be, or who men may perceive that I am. And I discovered something. I discovered that no matter what my perception of my own identity is, or no matter what men may think of me, what really matters is only God. My discovery is each one of us ultimately must come to realize God is. This is not about me. This is not about you. It's about God. And so as I began to think about those names, I began to, now what happened here? Oh, I misread that.
It says confusion and not conclusion.
Okay, let me get back on track. You see, sometimes in regard to our own identity, we begin to look at ourselves based upon the circumstances of life, and we call ourselves, we identify ourselves, we determine ourselves based upon the circumstances of life, whether we're successful or whether we're a failure. So I began to think about where I was at in life. Where I was headed in life. And when I introduce you to myself, I would introduce you to me as confusion. Life can be confusing. Life can be a struggle. Life can be a challenge. Life can be that which causes us to just say, what is this all about? We strive and we work hard and we try to get somewhere in life, and somehow we get blindsided and we just wake up one day and say, where do I go from here? What do I do now? As we think about confusion, God is not the author of confusion, but rather Satan is. Satan is the one that causes our life to be confusing. Satan is the one that causes us to struggle and wake up some morning and say, all right, where do I go from here? But God is quite opposite to that. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and in verse 33, the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, for God is not the author of confusion, but notice, but of peace. Confusion never brings peace, as in all the churches of the saints. When your life is filled with turmoil, when your life is filled with confusion, it is not God that caused that, it is Satan that caused that. And if you want peace, you've got to come back to God. For in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and verse 6, there's a name that is given to our Lord, and it says he is our wonderful counselor. We get confused with life. Don't know about life. We don't know about our struggles. We don't know about our circumstances. We're just confused. When we're in a state of confusion, and somebody will say, Mike, you need to go see a counselor. We got one. It's Jesus. Jesus. He is our counselor, and he is the one that helps us and helps us get direction and helps us to get focused and helps us to overcome the confusion in life. Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When I feel confused, when you feel confused, we need to sit back just for a moment and we need to think on these things. That's what Paul said to the Philippians. In Philippians, the 4th chapter and verse 8, he says to them, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You see, what happens is, in the state of confusion, we begin to revolve around in our minds, we meditate upon all the things that are wrong, all the things that are bad, all the things that are hurtful, all the things that are a struggle in life, and it confuses us, it overwhelms us. And yet Jesus says through Paul to these Philippians, if we'll think on those things that are true, those things that are noble, those things that are just and pure, lovely, good, virtue, praiseworthy, let those things revolve around in your mind. It is then that we overcome confusion. But then there's Mike Divis, who I will introduce to you as lonely. We've all, no doubt, felt alone in this big world. We have songs that are sung that demonstrated the artist's feelings and emotions of loneliness, such as, are you lonely tonight? I'm so lonesome I could die. For you country and western fans. Only the lonely. And when I'm
struggling with loneliness, I've got to realize that Jesus is referred to in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23 as the Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I'm not alone. You're not alone. God is with us. And I know sometimes when we begin to think that everyone has abandoned us, everyone has rejected us, everyone has left us, and the fact of the matter is, we are not alone, not only because God is with us, but also we must understand that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. That help us to remember that we do need people in our lives. We need friends. We need friendship. We need those that'll get us through the loneliness. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the wise man wrote, two are better than one because they have a good report for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I worked at a steel company as a young man of 20 years old. And I ran a machine called a 20-ton overhead crane. It had big railroad track beams on the sides of the building and a massive overhead crane. And I sat in the seat and I would control. There were three controls. There was up and down the rail, across the trolley, and up and down in regard to the crane. And of course, you had to control all three. And as I would watch this crane lift tons of steel over men's head, I would look and I would see oftentimes, especially when the trolley would get close to me, that there was just a cable that lifted that weight. Now, it wasn't just one piece of wire. It wasn't just two pieces of wire. It was hundreds of pieces of wire that were stranded together, and through those strands came enormous strength, more so than any weight that one by itself could lift, or even they could lift together if they weren't intertwined. A threefold cord is not easily broken. We've all used a rope. You know, you take a little piece of yarn and it breaks pretty easy, but when you got it roped together, it becomes extremely strong. And the fact of the matter is, when he says, I am with you, we must understand he is with us through our brethren. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the Hebrew is writing to Christians who are about to abandon their faith. They're struggling with it. Issues of life like loneliness. And he says in verse 5 of the 13th chapter, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, now notice, I will never leave you nor forsake you. People forsake people all the time. But God doesn't forsake us. When no one else is there, he's there. James says in James, the 4th chapter, in verse 8, that we're to draw near to God, and God's not far from any one of us, Paul said in Acts, the 17th chapter, when he was preaching to the Athenians on Mars Hill. And so sometimes when we feel like we're lonely, what we've got to do is we've got to realize that we are not alone in this world, and we've got to turn our attention to that which is important, and that is the Lord's church and the Lord's people. In turning our attention to others, we begin to realize that this is not about us. Paul said In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, don't look out for your own personal interests, but look out for the interests of others. When you focus yourself upon others, it takes your focus upon off of self and your own loneliness, your own inconsistencies, your own problems. What about Dorcas in Acts the 9th chapter, verses 36 through 41? Ask Sister Sharon and Sister Ray, because we just studied this a few weeks ago. This godly woman made clothes for others. When she died, they remembered the benevolence the woman had for them. Some of them probably wearing her clothes that she made. In Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse 24, it says, be friendly if you're going to have friends. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, why are people not friendly to you? Why? When I'm feeling all alone and I'm feeling isolated from the world, why don't people care? Why don't people talk to me? Why don't people give me attention? Why don't people show that I'm important and I'm significant? Because I'm not friendly. In Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse 24, the wise man is saying, if you're going to have friends, you've got to be friendly. And that makes sense. You want your spouse to be your friend? Be friendly. You want your brother or sister in Christ to be friends? Be friendly. Put a smile on your face. Say hi to them. Life is lonely enough that we don't have to deliberately isolate ourselves from the world. Let me introduce you to the third person. I'm lost. I suppose when I suggest to you that I'm lost, I'm not talking about our eternal salvation, though that could apply. I'm talking about sometimes we just get lost in life. Sometimes we just lose direction. Sometimes, as I stated already in regard to confusion, we just lost the way. You ever been lost driving? I'll tell you what, I've been driving around Des Moines, and at night, that city looks a lot different. I found myself in places that I know I've been there hundreds of times. I've made over 900 trips now in the few months that I've worked with Uber. And I find myself saying, where in the world am I? Everything looks different. Everything looks strange. I drive a few blocks and then I'll see a tree that I've noticed before next to the road, or a building, or a light, or a bulletin board. And there's times in my life when I'm hurting. I wonder, why doesn't God help me? Doesn't He know that I'm hurting? I have felt like God is unattached and He's a long ways away. I remember when I was a little boy, my dad had a Mercury, back in the 50s, they had big cars. This would have been in the 60s, but he could never have a new car. He always had old cars. And I remember that in this car, whatever it was, it had a huge back window. And it was not just a huge back window, but that behind the back seat was a platform about this wide, it seemed like. And that big old window that kind of domed over that platform was an ideal place for a 10-year-old boy to sit and look at the stars as Dad's driving down the road. And I remember dreaming about being an astronaut and flying through space and finding new adventures. And it was about this time that Star Trek came out. And you know the rest of the story, right? But some 50 years later, I'm not an astronaut at all. I'm much more like an archaeologist that is digging up the shards of past destroyed lives to just try to find some meaning. Just
Just try to make some sense out of what all of this means in regard to what happens to us. And then I come to a passage that introduces me to Jesus. John chapter 10 and verse 11, as the good shepherd. A shepherd who would leave the 99 to find the one. In Acts 17, chapter verse 27, Paul on Mars Hill said, God is not far from every one of us. As we're searching for him and as we're trying to find him, he gives us that which we live, we move, and we breathe. We have our very being from him. So Paul says, seek him, and you'll find him. In Colossians chapter 3, as Paul was writing to those Christians living in the city of Colossae in the first century, beginning in verse 12, he writes and he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you will be called in one body, and be thankful. Paul understood that we don't have to feel lost because there are answers. And in putting on Christ, we come to know those answers. He goes on to say that we do it through our worship one to another. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, a passage I know you're all very familiar with, starting in verse 23, learn how to stimulate one another in love and good deeds by not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some. You see, when we come together and we worship each other, it is there that we find the very presence of God. It is there that we know we're not lost, either eternally or even in the issues of the life that we now live. But then, I want to introduce you to failure. I actually had someone say, Mike's a failure. Mike's failed at business. Mike's failed with his children. Mike's failed with the marriage. Mike's failed with the church and caused the church to be divided. Mike's failed in everything Mike's ever tried to do. Some may think so. He did. But I want to remind you that I have failed at things. But so have you. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. And yet in verse 23, but in verse 24 of Romans chapter 3, he goes on to say, but we have been redeemed. That's what we need when we fail. We need to be redeemed. In Job, the 19th chapter, verse 25, Job understood that he had a redeemer. His name is Redeemer. And when I think about failure, I think about Peter, who denied the Lord three times. I don't even know the man. Started cursing. The Apostle Paul said, I did many things contrary to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked Christians in the eyes and said, you're going to jail or you're going to die if you don't deny Jesus. And they said, we will not. Stood by and held the coats of those who stoned Stephen in Acts chapter 7.
there anyone in this room that would call Paul a failure? Anyone that would call Peter a failure? I'm not trying to compare myself to Peter or Paul. Certainly not. But it doesn't matter what men say. What matters is in regard to what God says. And God says in Romans, the 8th chapter, the text that we had read to you a moment ago, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Our victory is in Jesus, not in self, not in business, not in marriage, not in family.
Though we ought to try very hard.
It's in Christ. It's in Christ. Let me introduce you to desperate. Some of you have heard the words that I've heard. Got cancer. Immediately you begin to think, am I going to live or am I going to die? Am I ready to die? In my case, I went in for an x-ray on my shoulders because my shoulders hurt. And to have the conclusion be, you got cancer, it kind of blindsides you. Like, what? Hadn't been sick other than shoulder pain. You begin to feel helpless, terrified, discouraged, trapped, desperate.
And then we read about Jehovah Jireh, translated, God will provide. Genesis 22, verse 14. Once again, taking our focus off ourselves, we begin to focus upon our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We begin to realize that He, and only He, can help us when we're desperate. In Psalms, the 18th chapter, the wise man wrote, beginning in verse 4, the pains of death surround me, and the floods of ungodliness make me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surround me. The snares of death confront me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his people, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. I want to skip down to verse 16. He sent from above. He took me, he drew me out of the many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. For they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. David understood that God was a mighty God. Go back and read 7 through 15. God's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He didn't just create the worlds. He didn't just create all the animals and the birds and the fishes of the sea. He didn't just create man and then sit back unattached. He's real. He's real, brethren. And he really cares. It is our God who will deliver us. And then, let me introduce you to trouble. You ever been troubled? Can't sleep at night? I suppose it's like the old Simon and Garfunkel song, like a bridge over troubled water. Elijah was a man who was troubled and found himself in a cave. Jonah was a man who was running from God and found himself in the belly of a sea monster. Jeremiah regretted the day that he was born. Job's wife said to Job, just sit down and curse God and die. We all have trouble. And yet in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verse 6, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. When we trust God, He will give us a strength and a peace that will surpass all understanding. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 7 says, the psalmist emphasizes this point in Psalms, the 73rd chapter. And he says there in Psalm 73, turn with me if you will, Psalms chapter 73, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. And then I want to introduce you to weak. You know, sometimes when we look at someone who's weak, we say they're weak, and we have a tendency to associate weakness with sinfulness. But sometimes it's not because of sin that we're weak. We're just weak. We feel like life has overwhelmed us. But we're not alone. Luke, the 17th chapter and verse 5, speaks of one who felt weak, begged Jesus to help. And in Isaiah, the 9th chapter and verse 6, we have the mighty God. He's a wonderful counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. And He's the mighty God. In Luke, the 22nd chapter and verse 32, Jesus told Peter that he was going to be sifted like wheat and that Satan was going to sift him. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I'll pray for you that you'll be strong. Strength doesn't necessarily come from the inner core of our own being, but it may very well come from others. We all feel weak at times. We all are faced with the blindsided nature of the beast of sin, of discouragement. And yet, our God is a mighty God. And He can help us to be strong. He can help us to overcome, to face whatever it is that we got to face. We can't give up. We can't give in. But we got to face it. And it is only with His help that we can face it. We are not big enough. We are not strong enough. But I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. The last point that I want to make is I'm broken. Brother, I don't need to tell you. I came here broken. I'm still broken. That's a reality of life. The Bee Gees, those of you who are old rock heads like me, sang a song, "How can you mend the broken man? How can a loser ever win? Please help me mend my broken heart." And let me live again. There's lots of reasons why we're broken. Betrayal, death, divorce, loss of our job, a dear friend that doesn't want to be our friend no more. In Exodus, the 15th chapter, and verse 26, God is referred to as the healer of broken men. You see, in the song that the Bee Gees were singing,
How do you mend a broken heart? How do you stop the rain from falling? How do you stop the sun from rising? And the answer to that is we don't. We don't stop the rain from falling. We don't stop the sun from coming up. We don't have control of those things. And there are things that we don't have control of in our lives. In fact, David, in his tears, cried unto God.
Psalms 56 and verse 8. David could see his enemies all around him. King Hezekiah did the same in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter and verse 5. And in Psalms 34 and in verse 18. I'm turning to Psalms 34, verse 18. For it says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. I'm not the first. I'm not going to be the last. And it's probably not going to be the first or the last time for me.
Healing comes from God. And healing, brethren, takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. In fact, I am convinced that God may never, ever close the hole in your heart in regard to it being broken. But he does make some promises.
But the psalmist said it this way in Psalms 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And so in conclusion for this morning's lesson.
What's your name? What do people call you?
I don't care what I may think about myself, the negative things that I may think. I don't care what people may think about me or the false identity they may identify with me. Because all that does is it shows we as human beings are lacking and we need help. We have problems that we cannot solve. It is impossible on our own.
And the names of God are not just names. They are who he is and what he does.
You know what's amazing to me? As I look at the names of God, he can fill every void that I have in my life and in your life. He can provide every single need that we have. He solves every single problem. You know why? Because God never, ever says, I didn't see that coming. He's never blindsided. Not once. He knows.
Psalms 147. I'll leave you with this verse.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
Maybe you've called yourself one of these names. Maybe you've allowed the circumstances of life to affect you and hinder you in your service to Christ. Brethren, you all understand a little bit more about this lesson as time goes on. I'll explain it to the men in a few moments. But
I will not give up. I will not give in. I will be what God wants me to be as a Christian man, brother, and so being, if he decides, preacher. If you're broken, if you're lost, if you're confused, if you're struggling with the things that I talked about this morning, you have a Lord that cares, and by his very name and nature, he cares. And he's provided for you. He's provided you the answers that you have. If you're not a Christian and you never named the name of Christ,
Put your trust in him. Because you've lived long enough. If you are of the ability to understand what I've said today, you are old enough to know that what I said is right. And he's the only one that can help. He's the only one that can make it right. He's the only one that can help you to face tomorrow. Become a Christian. Be forgiven of your sins by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, repenting of your sins, confessing his name to others, and being in remission of your sins. This morning you can do that. We'll help. Maybe you are a Christian and you feel that your name is some of the names that I felt that I've shared with you this morning. Jesus is there. He loves you. He cares about you. He's not going to abandon me or you. And so if there's something that we can do to pray for you, to encourage you, to help you to get through those difficult hours, we're here for that reason. Because we're all in the same boat. We've all felt this way. I'm not telling you anything uniquely different about me than you. It's a reality. So if we can help you, we encourage you to come. As together we stand as we sing this song of invitation.
Come to Jesus.